tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Johnson. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Love that music. Means we're here at AfterBuzz Studios doing another AfterBuzz after show for The Good Wife. We are in our sixth season, and we are doing episode 4, Oppo Research. I'm your host, Courtney Henderson, and I have the lovely Bobby DeMiro.
Hey, Courtney, I have a little opposition research on you that I'd like to reveal later on in the show today.
Uh-oh. I couldn't decide if you were going to say your name or if I was going to say your name.
Hey, no, you're leading this thing. It's your boat to sink or swim, man.
But you're lovely. Regardless, you are lovely.
The lovely Bobby DeMiro.
And Tara Johnson. I'm lovely,
also
too.
Lovely, yes.
Thank you.
Also
Thank
lovely.
You very much.
I was just laughing at calling Bobby lovely.
But you are lovely.
Whatever, guys. Not even going to touch
we're
that
We're girls.
Right,
just like Alicia. Just which is the first topic. I guess really every topic of this episode is going to be about Alicia because it's all about her finally coming to running for state's attorney.
Yeah, but this episode was completely about her, but I did not like her at all in this episode.
Really?
I didn't. I was waiting for more. I mean, she just went into straight, almost state attorney's, you know, role. Like, everything just piled up. She never showed emotion. She was like, okay, next. And talk to Alicia.
Tara's.
And talk to Owen. And, I mean, it was just like, she was just in that mode, and that's all you got from her this week. So I'm waiting for her to explode.
Tara's voting for Castro.
Oh, come on.
Never.
Well, I mean, come never. On. Is there a third party candidate? We know how that goes.
We don't know yet.
Tara's voting
we
for Castro.
We have till Monday. We have till Monday. But I thought it was very interesting and kind of an out of her element, something we don't see very much. At the very beginning of the episode, she's setting up all the food. You know, that she has a cheese plate and the celery and ranch with, or celery and carrots with the ranch or dip or whatever. And, you know, and I thought she was throwing like a dinner party. Like, that's how much food and kind of prep she was doing. Of course, there's wine coming out, you know, on the table. That's Alicia's MO kind of a thing. And Eli comes in, we find out they're having the initial meeting for kind of how we plan this campaign. If she is actually running, if she does make the announcement, kind of what falls into place from then on, what do I expect kind of a thing.
Yeah, she made it very clear to say, we're just talking.
Yes.
Like, I haven't decided to run, we're just talking plans, I just want to understand what's going on. She made that clear from the top.
Yes, yes. And of course, what's the first thing Eli does is he says, you need to meet your campaign manager. We're just talking, right? Yes. But your campaign manager is actually here, so why don't we bring him in?
Can I, now that we've brought him in, can I open up the elephant in the room we have to discuss? Mm. The campaign manager, in a totally heterosexual way, the campaign manager is not an unattractive guy.
Oh, not at all.
So, and Eli
You mean Johnny Elfman.
Johnny Elfman. Eli is obviously not, there's no sexual tension with Eli. There shouldn't be. He's funny. He's a ton of different things. Sexual tension, he is not. This campaign manager, did you pick up that that's going to happen?
All day.
It's going to happen.
It's so going to happen.
No, you know the
get
thing
ready for it.
No. As much as I hate saying it, I felt like Finn and Alicia had that tonight.
I felt that too.
Yeah.
Later.
Yeah.
She had a lot of
She can't just be with everybody everywhere.
No, she's not gonna. She's gonna pick one. But the point is, they're gonna drag it out through the season or however long it's gonna go. Yeah. Johnny Elfman's got a backstory.
Yep.
You know he's got a backstory.
Wait.
Oh, yeah. He's got a backstory. Out of 18 candidates, you're the one that took this the best. and he doesn't work with first timers anymore.
And he doesn't have time with kids. He's no dilettante.
That's
Johnny
right.
Elfman's got a backstory, my friend.
I can't wait to hear about that.
He's got a tattoo. He's got a scar. Also, hey, scar alert. What about that thing about that motorcycle crash with the scar on the face?
Right.
That maybe it's a red herring. Maybe it's Peter mishearing something. Maybe this isn't actually Johnny Elfman.
Dun, dun, dun. Whoever I was going to do Epley that. Is, oh, sorry.
That's okay.
I mean, maybe not. They never followed up with it in this episode. Yeah. Maybe it's cool. But yeah. I'm just saying, like, that's a weird thing for Peter to say. Is he okay after the motorcycle crash mm-hmm. with the scar? There was no scar.
But it also seemed weird to me that Eli didn't know that. Because that would that sounds Eli like something that Eli would totally be all over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay.
But there was a lot of stuff that I feel like people should have known in this episode that, you know, they didn't know.
Eli also not knowing about Kalinda and Peter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alicia not knowing about Zach.
Yeah, that one was a shock.
Peter not knowing. I thought it was going to be that Peter knew.
I did too. I figured he would talk to someone.
If it I mean, if she was saying, you know, of course, in her mind, it's all the legal aspects of it going on. We're talking about how in the Oppo research, or in that first interview, they just start going into the Oppo research, and it comes out that Zach and his girlfriend in high school had an abortion. And he was 17, she was 16, and so Alicia's head was going to that place where, wait a second, she's 16, she's a minor, she needs parental consent, or maybe even a parent or guardian present
right.
to go through with it. So she's kind of like doing the math, like, well, I wasn't there, so what? Who was there? How did this go down without me ever knowing?
Nisa was 16, so she was a minor, so she needed parental consent. In Illinois, is the age of consent 17? And since Zach was 17, he was not a minor, so he did not need to inform a parent. Is that why neither Peter nor Alicia knew?
Probably.
I assume.
Also, I mean, the way it was worded, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what
and
I would guess.
Probably because the woman is having the procedure, so it's probably because she's 16. Right.
Or one parent from either of the couple has to be there.
I don't know, but I would imagine, and this is kind of messed up maybe, but I bet that Zach doesn't have to tell anybody.
I mean,
he's not pregnant. It doesn't have, there's no physical anything going on with him, you know, because it's one of those, she could have done it without him even knowing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously we know that isn't what happened in this case, but women can go have abortions without ever telling the partner that got them pregnant that they had been pregnant. So I would imagine that it's just, it happens to be Nisa's parents that have to know because she's the one going through the procedure. So, but anyway, there was a lot of things that came up that people didn't know, that people you would think would have known or should have known. That particular thing definitely put Alicia at odds with her son, and kind of every single thing that they've kind of been through, where she questioned him and he kind of said, you know, Mom, give me the benefit of the doubt. Now she's second guessing again.
And this is where I wanted to see the mom side of her. And I know she can't, you know, always wear that mask. But this is, that's why I wanted to see that. Because you're right, she's running through everything in her head. And when she realized that the girl's parents were there and she didn't know anything about it, it had to be hurtful to her as a parent.
Oh, of course.
Right? But you just didn't see that. She just completely turned that off and just kept going.
When she called Peter.
All right.
She said something along the lines of like we are cutting him off, like he can pay every cent of his college himself. But that's really the only thing we got, you know, and when she started to leave the voicemail, you saw that kind of shift and she went, "It's Mom." It's like, "Zach, it's Mom. Call me back."
It's state's attorney mode. They told her, do not leave a voicemail. So
the word of the day is compartmentalization, right?
Totally.
She can compartmentalize between being a mother when she has to be a mother, the state's attorney when she has to do that, the attorney for her clients when she has to meet with Lamon Bishop and fire him, which we'll talk about later, and every other hat that she wears. And that's what any successful person has to do, but especially somebody in public life.
Right.
You have to compartmentalize. And when you fail to do that, you have sex scandals like what happened to Peter, you know, or you have bad parenting. And we can debate whether or not Alicia is a good or bad parent, but you have outwardly bad parenting where you don't follow your kids at all, and I think Alicia at least cares enough to try.
Right.
But she learns to compartmentalize, and this is just a very black and white example of her compartmentalizing pretty much every minute of the day. And all the Oppo research that's being thrown at her by our boy Johnny Elfman is really personally painful for her.
Absolutely.
But as a state's attorney, it's not personal. It's not personal in the campaign. It's just, this is a hurdle. We need to cross it. What is our polling? How do we win? It can't be personal on that point. So you compartmentalize it. Cry about it later. Drink wine about it later.
Right.
And you saw her pour that wine glass at the end of the meeting. Do that later. But right now in the meeting, compartmentalize and don't look at it as a mother or a wife. Mm-hmm. Look at it as a candidate for state's attorney.
But I'm waiting for that time where all that piles up and that somewhere along the line in that campaign, it has to come out.
Which I also thought was interesting because I think it was before they brought Elfman into the room, or, you know, before he rang the doorbell and we find out he's there. She found out that with the current polling as of today, with only the two candidates, she would win by 8 points.
Mm-hmm.
And Eli's kind of sitting there like, Alicia, this is good news. Like, have a moment. Have a feeling about this. Like,
take
get
it in.
Excited.
The other thing, like, I just voted. Literally, absentee ballot. I just voted this week in L.A. And what you guys should do, and if you guys are in L.A. or wherever you are, vote. Seriously. Register to vote and vote. But let me get off my voting soapbox. No, but the reason I mention it is it's so funny because state's attorney in this show is a major race. If you know anything about local politics, that's a major position.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Most people don't know anything about local politics. And if you're 8 points ahead in the polls right now with the name recognition that somebody like Alicia Florek would have, you can't lose.
Right.
People don't research these candidates. I'd like to believe, like, oh, people actually research every candidate. I tried to go and research every proposition on the voting ballot. I didn't do in-depth research.
Right.
Like, I did enough cursory stuff for myself, but I know that 75% of the population is doing less than me. So if you've got an 8-point
lead... More than 75%, probably.
but the reason I say that and bring in my voting experience, and I know you guys are the same way, the reason I say that is, you know, president, senators, these are huge elections. We all have opinions about this. Do you guys know who your district congressman is in the state of California?
I do not.
I don't.
You don't do the research, and I'm not trying to insult you guys. I'm just trying to say that's the way it is for most people. And if Alicia's got an 8-point lead in state's attorney in a race that's relatively down the ballot, even though it's important, you got it made in the shade. You have to really screw up.
And that's to Eli's point, though. He was like, can we just...
Yeah.
Eli knows more than anyone. So much crap happens. Mm-hmm. So can we at least take this moment to enjoy where we are right now before you look toward, you know, the bad? And she was like, well, I mean, well, but that's not going to remain the same. No one knows when. He's like, can you just, but that's why I love you, because you're always looking for the bad.
Yeah.
I would cry if someone said to me, Tara, that's why I love you, because you're always looking for the bad. That's horrible.
You're like, wait a second.
It's cynical. It's politics, right?
Well, and that actually goes to the point when... you know, Johnny does come into the conversation with them, and he's sitting there. And it's funny because they both were kind of told that they were there scoping out the other person. Mm-hmm. Alicia was told she was there to decide if she wanted Elfman to run her campaign, and he was there to decide whether or not he wanted to actually oversee the campaign. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like he didn't even know that that was the candidate, because he said he doesn't do first-timers. And I feel like had he known it was Alicia, or had he known... had he known it was Alicia, he would have known she was a first-timer, and he would have maybe not even come to the meeting in the first place. But he's the one that said in the meeting, I need you to just find one positive thing about running. You're telling me all the bad things about why you're running, all the negatives, but I need one good thing behind why you're going to do this.
That's the awesome thing about... The one thing I really liked about Johnny Elfman, he did give me a little bit of, like, sexual tension with Alicia's going to come. But the one thing I did like about him was that my biggest complaint in politics, I know we all feel it, everybody at home feels it in real-life politics, everything is negative. This guy sucks. This guy sucks. This guy sucks. Don't tell me that. Tell me what you are going to do.
Right.
And at least Johnny Elfman had the sense to say that, to say... it doesn't matter to me how bad Castro is. Why are you good? It's totally framing it in a different direction. And maybe that was what flipped and got Alicia to decide for sure she wanted to run, and she wanted to run with this guy.
Yeah.
It's not just Castro's a problem, but hey, what is my platform? What am I going to do in the state's attorney's office?
But I have to say, I mean, I was waiting for that answer to that question. She kind of asked that question by a lot of people.
Yeah.
Johnny Elfman asked her, Zach asked her. Her mom asked her, Owen asked her, and she never had an answer. And even at the end of the episode when she said to Johnny Elfman, I'm going to run, she never said why, a positive reason why. It was always something else. So I'm waiting for her to figure out, or maybe to realize, she doesn't have a good reason to run, but I mean, she's going to run, that's regardless. But I want to hear that.
She said something just briefly about, you know, I think I would be good at it. I think it was to her mom, but she didn't go into specifics about that.
Right.
Well, I want to kind of get talking a little bit about the different people, you know, when they open the skeletons and they thump that big thing down and they say, you know, time to go through the skeletons, thump. And she's like, that's a lot of skeletons.
Is that not scary? Can you imagine if they did? I don't want to imagine.
Well, I mean, I was sitting there thinking about that, you know, like, if I were going to become somebody like that, if I were going to run for some political position... You know, what would all, like, how thick, like, how loud would that thump be?
How thick would that thump be, Courtney?
Yeah.
Because hers
volume?
Was like this thick. Yours was like, you just did.
No, I mean, I was just...
I'm
like half her age, so it could only be half as big.
Oh, sure. Okay.
At the most.
I should have spanked you, you bitch.
Hey!
That's the best one. Let's start with the mom.
Well, before we get started on all of these people, I want to go to a quick commercial break.
Wherever you live in this great country of ours, Dish can bring you great TV. From the big city to the farmlands, high on a mountain or low in the valley, Dish delivers all the great movies, shows, and sports you can handle. Monthly packages start at just $19.99 a month for 12 months. This is your day, America. Get Dish and get thousands of TV shows and movies on demand and free installation in up to 6 rooms. Visit dish.com/afterbuzz. That's dish.com/afterbuzz. Limited time offer, 24-month commitment and credit qualification required. Cancellation fee and other restrictions apply. Requires a clear view of the southern sky. Call for details.
Did he just say we can get Dish for just $19.99 a month?
Well, yes, he did, dear.
And what do we pay for TV now?
A whole lot more than that, dear.
And why do we do that?
I don't know.
Get Dish. Go to dish.com/afterbuzz. That's dish.com/afterbuzz.
And we are back. All right, Bobby, even though you don't deserve it, we are going to start with the mom.
With Veronica. Great.
I love her. She looked a little funny in this episode to me.
She always looks a little funny.
Just sitting in the office. Well, okay, first let's talk about what she did. Why Alicia has to go talk to Mom about running for state's attorney.
What she did is the actions of a true American hero.
What she did is awesome.
let's be honest about that.
That's just awesome.
So,
she defended an 86-year-old widow's honor is what she did.
Real American heroes.
Yes. Oh, well, I mean, she didn't know she was defending that woman. All she saw was a bratty little kid just ruining her shopping experience in this department store. So she gave him a little pat, a little spanking.
She didn't even get a good hit on.
No.
When you really want to hit the kid, not that I'm spanking children, I am not, I don't have any, but, and I'm not going to department stores to spank them,
right?
But don't you like put them over your knee? She just kind of like stood him there and like hit.
Stopped
it was pretty
him.
Weak.
She really should have spanked the mom because this kid was terrorizing yeah. everything. I mean, the mom needs to be handled. That's what she really
the mom was
gone.
A bitch. Let's just
crazy.
Be honest about that.
Yeah,
the
absolutely.
Mom was a bitch.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, she was supposed to be.
The mom will not be voting for Alicia.
No, she will not be.
Okay.
I mean, she might. She might feel a little, like, intimidated into it now. Because otherwise Mama Veronica might be coming for that spanking she promised.
She should.
But it was one of those where Alicia's just sitting there like, oh, Mom. And I mean, I feel like my parents are much better behaved than I am. So I don't think I would ever be sitting in any circumstance and be embarrassed by their behavior. I always think it would be the other way around. So.
Oh, my mom would totally have done that.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. But she would have done it and then grabbed the child and took the child to her mother and said, this is what I did to your child. I just want to let you know so the child doesn't come back and tell your wrong story. I live in a very small town. Everyone knows everyone, so it would be no big deal. But totally would do it. My mom's awesome. She
but
totally
I mean,
do it.
Sitting in the room when you've agreed to apologize or basically been told whether you like it or not, you're apologizing because it needs to happen for my political career. Would she have kind of gone on like Veronica did and kind of say, I should have spanked you?
Yes.
Your mom absolutely.
Yes.
My mom
couldn't have done like the fake smile that Veronica had.
Oh,
like,
yeah, the whole time.
30 seconds.
She's like, I'm sure my mom gave you her deepest regrets. No, actually, all I see is her sitting there smiling. Like, oh, come on. I love that whole thing. And I love how we did get to see the video because, you know, you think spanking and I feel like everybody's had flashes to the last time they were spanked or like, you know, that
last
worst
week.
Time that they as a kid got
comment.
Spanked because of, you know, being in trouble.
Right.
'Cause I don't know if parents are still doing it today, but I feel like the parent generation of my parents definitely was spanking their kids, and it wasn't one of those things where child services was you know,
not at
getting
all.
Called about
it.
It
wasn't
right.
an Adrian Peterson situation.
Right,
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
So mom didn't take it too well.
No, but she still rocks in my book.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And then we have Owen, because, of course, they were called together to meet, which Veronica was already suspicious about from the beginning.
You guys can take this one your own. Just go for it.
Owen! I mean, I thought it
there's
was...
There's not much to say.
No, there's not much we can say. Facts are facts.
He was dating a married man who...
Did other things on the side.
Was involved in adult film.
A married Palestinian man.
Yes.
But the problem was the fact that he was married. That's what Eli said, right? That was the
yeah.
biggest problem.
And I love how... Was the Elfman was like, and the porn.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you can't... Like, that is a factor.
Right. Kind of a little thing. Factor. For the fact that he's married.
But, so it's one of those where I'm so curious. Is he married to a woman? Does his spouse know that he's doing this adult film work on the side? You know what I mean?
Is there an adult film industry in Chicago?
I think there's an adult film industry everywhere, right? I mean, I don't know for sure, but I would just think maybe some, you know.
I feel like any city probably has some element
a little bit of it. Okay. A little bit going on.
But he just left. To you guys. I mean, there's not really much to say because he just kind of walked out.
I interpreted that as he walked out. Maybe I'm totally wrong about this, but I interpreted him walking out because he's going to go get tested and he's going to go confront this guy. And maybe he didn't know. And maybe this is news to Owen, all this stuff that was going on. You know, I didn't interpret it him walking out mad at Alicia for doing what she did. And maybe he was a little bit. I interpreted him walking out as like, oh, crap.
Who's this person I thought I loved or thought I knew?
Test or whatever it is.
I took him as walking out like, I'm pissed that you let your people check me out and now you're confronting me.
That's how I took it. I took it as a screw you, Alicia.
Yeah. How dare you?
Yeah.
He did pour out wine.
He poured out a lot of wine, like a full glass.
And I said, I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe Alicia's not drinking the most expensive wine with as often as she drinks, but that had to be at least, you know, a $10 glass.
Probably if not more.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah. Drink more. Yeah.
And we're talking about buying a bottle to drink at home. We're not talking about a $10 glass in the restaurant. I mean, it's a $40 or $50 bottle of wine.
That he just poured down the drain.
Which that is why I felt like it was a screw you, Alicia, because it was just kind of like, you ain't getting my glass.
Right. Because he was the one who said, why would you do that? And how is that going to work when you're a lawyer? So he was the one who had, like, voiced the strongest opposition. So for her to then say, look, my team checked me out. Mm-hmm. They had to dig a little deeper. They came up with this. I took it as, I'm completely pissed. You do what you want in your life. Don't interfere with mine.
Well, especially because this has already happened with Owen, with it being her husband. So he knows that this is sort of how the political game works. But I did think it was interesting because he raised questions that Alicia hasn't asked herself that we know of and that nobody else has kind of presented her with. Because I'm assuming she had to tell her partners when they went to the whole Lamon Bishop and we have to get rid of him as a client. You know, so Diane knows she's looking at running. Carrie knows she's looking at running. I'm assuming, you know, we never see that conversation. So, but how else would she present it to them as we need to do this? I mean, if Lamon wasn't going to buy into the whole conflict of interest, are her partners really going to buy into that? Probably not. And especially since Kalinda knew she was considering it. Right. I would imagine that the partners knew and that they in support of her. But again, it's one of those, how does that work? I mean, right now, they're actually working on a case with representing Carrie, her partner, against the state's attorney's office. So how do you have your own practice and represent the government?
If you can't beat them, be them. That's what right? That's what she's trying to do. If you can't beat the state's attorney, or if you're sick of going against him because he has a personal vendetta, beat him in the election.
That is true.
Become him.
But I will say that the Bishop conflict is real.
Drop the whole thing? Drop the whole Carrie case? Can you just drop a case?
Well, I mean, there's other people in her firm, and the conflict of interest with the Bishop.
I mean,
case,
if she became state's attorney and it's not finished yet.
I think it depends on evidence. Yeah, it depends if they have the evidence or whatever to bring charges, and if they legitimately feel they don't have the evidence in the first place, and this is a witch hunt by the current state's attorney,
right?
They could just decide not to prosecute.
But if they don't, I mean, if it's not just a witch hunt and they do have it, so they don't need to drop it. Now she has to prosecute her old partner.
Congratulations.
Absolutely.
Now now you're doing season 7.
Exactly.
Wait, there's a season 7?
Exactly.
Now you're jumping ahead 15 episodes. Congratulations, Courtney.
I do what I can. Is that my prediction?
The Good Wife writer's room is like, damn it.
No, they're not. I mean, because you know that's not what's going to happen, because if we could have guessed it now, there's going to be so many twists and turns between now and then.
What do you mean? I knew Will was going to get shot in season 2.
No, you didn't. You absolutely did
oh
not.
My gosh.
Will Gardner didn't even know. Josh didn't even know because it wasn't a storyline. It was an actor choice to be, you know, off the show. Okay, so let's move on to Zach. We kind of talked about him already. Mm-hmm. The abortion, Nisa's parents knew. The thing that really pissed me off is Alicia kind of said, no, this one's mine, when she talked to Peter about it. And when she finally got in touch with Zach, because they were kind of playing phone tag because she couldn't obviously leave a message about this, Peter had already gotten to Zach.
Of course.
And she didn't even acknowledge that
because
we see.
A college male is going to talk to dad before he talks to mom about a lot of issues.
No, but I don't. So do you think Zach told Peter?
No. I think Peter
called. Yeah. I think even after she said, this one's mine, he just called Zach anyway.
Well, she was thinking about, like, disowning the kid. She was like, we're not giving him another dime. And she really went off on Peter when he called. So he was trying to help his kid out and say, look, your mom's going to kill you.
And remember, she had to leave a couple messages. He called back. She didn't answer. They played phone tag for a day or two, however long that temporal structure was. So Peter had plenty of time to get in there. And I know he did it immediately.
But don't you think
that Zach chose to be accessible to Peter and chose not to be accessible to his mom? As accessible.
Well, we don't actually know.
He called her. He was like, hey, I'm in my dorm. Sorry. Meant to get back to you sooner. Whatever he said. You
know? Right.
But I get it, though. I mean, I can only imagine if I was in that situation as a guy and, you know, your mom's going to call you. If my father called me first, I promise I would talk to him before to try to just
figure out what to do. Right, but at that point, he didn't know why she was calling. That's what I'm saying. So he didn't know to screen his mom's call because she was calling about abortion.
I think Dad called, like, immediately, even after she said, this
I think
is
he,
mine.
And I think he might have legitimately missed the first... This is way too much speculation, well, but I think he legitimately missed the first call, and then he screened
I'm
her
just
out
saying,
for
we have no way to know how, except, like, how Peter went about getting in touch with him. All we know is that he did it first. And I know that Peter reached out to Zach, and it just... It irked me that even though Alicia was like, this one's mine, Peter still went... And warn Zach or talk to Zach or whatever he did with Zach before Alicia had a chance to play to be mom.
I think he was just doing out of protection because
But it's just disrespectful to your wife. And I know they're not exactly in that whole marriage thing.
Since when's Peter been respectful?
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
I think it was more of a protective thing.
I don't disagree. Yeah. It's not about how he was to Peter or how he was to Zach. It was how he was to Alicia. The complete disregard for her being a mother and a parent and what she was going through and finding out that her 17-year-old son, a year and a half earlier, had a pregnant girlfriend that got rid of their baby. Now, part of that is as a mother and thinking, oh my gosh, how did I not know? Right. How did I, you know, I saw all the signs. He just kept telling me, I'm a good boy, you know, trust me, mom.
And I believed him.
And I believed him. And would I have caught on? Would I have known not to believe him if I wasn't doing all this other stuff? And part of it goes back to you with kind of the emotionless, just kind of like down to business. I'm running for state's attorney, and because as soon as she got him on the phone, she didn't blow up at him. She basically said, "This is the story.
Right.
I knew. I give you your options, and you know this is what you're going to tell the press if it ever comes up. It probably will come up." And I think he was more mad that she was running just for the sheer fact of. When am I finally going to get to just have my life be my life?
Right.
Because it isn't really fair. When you become a politician or some public figure, be it entertainment or music or athlete, you know, whatever it is, when you put yourself in that public eye and you expose your family, politics is a little bit different than, you know, some of those other public eye choices. But it's not something that they asked for. It's not something they signed up for. And so it can be a little hard to just kind of say, well, because I'm doing this, you have to be perfect.
Right.
Or you have to let us do damage control when your human side comes out and you do something against what looks good for the voters, kind of a thing.
When he comes home for the holidays, whenever he comes home the next time, I think all of it's going to come out. And I think you make a very good point. I mean, I think she's finally going to let her state's attorney, you know, campaign mask down and really become a mom and express how upset she is. And he's going to, I think, express those exact things to her, too. You're taking me through yet another campaign, yet another, you know, now both my parents are going to be in the political eye in Chicago. Give me a break. So I think all that's going to come out is going to make a great Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, I can't wait for Thanksgiving. What is that? Maybe 2 episodes out, 3 episodes out? I don't know. Well, lastly, let's talk about Finn. Because, you know, there was all that sexual tension everybody kept bringing up last season, which I did not think was going to turn into anything. Until tonight.
Okay, great.
Until tonight. They call, you know, they're both worrying about their friendship because now they're, of course, in this case, Carrie versus the state's attorney's office. And what do you guys think? What I mean, they met. It was friendly. Did you see sexual tension?
Oh, they're in love.
All day.
In love?
I mean, I think he's totally into her. She's totally into him. I'm a little bit into him. That's okay. I mean, I'm just saying.
We're all a little bit into him.
Let's be honest.
We're all a little bit into him.
First off, I need to say this. Finn Polmar is the fakest sounding character name I've ever heard. Every other character name on here is like pretty good. Finn Polmar is like an amalgamation of like, no, Palmer's not right. Let's call him Polmar. Moving on, though. They're totally in love.
They're totally in love.
And I want to see how much of an advocate inside track he's going to give her, because we didn't realize until the episode was over, but he did say to her, take a cab, have a drink. I want to let you know Castro is going to catch you where you're vulnerable. Watch out. And then all the stuff happened.
So do you think he knew about...
I think...
Because why wouldn't he have in that bar said...
Two words. Plausible deniability.
And also, I mean, someone was watching her. If he really knew everything, then he would know someone was watching the two of them, right? Because the next thing you know, she jumped in the car and the cop.
Castro put him up to setting her up to meet in that bar so she could do it. And Castro knew she was going to be there because he told Finn to meet her there. And Finn wants to go with his boss because he doesn't want to get fired or whatever. But he also wanted to give Alicia a little bit of a heads up to say, almost to say, hey, I don't want to do this to you, but I'm kind of doing this to you or whatever it is.
Right. But take a cab. Just stay and drink with me.
Yeah. People say take a cab, have a drink all the time. That was way over my head. When someone's like, take a cab, have a drink with me. I thought that was weird.
Who takes a cab from a bar? I mean, let's be honest. You have a drink. You're not taking a cab. I'm serious. How many times do you have one drink and take a cab home?
Nobody does it. But that's what he was saying. He was trying to get her to have more than one drink and take a cab.
Right.
Like he said, stay and drink with me.
Mm-hmm.
Which is which he failed at. But it's like one of those, probably there was somebody watching. So at some point, he can't insist on it or give the full warning.
Right.
Because there's eyes and ears everywhere.
But Finn's in an interesting position, exactly what you're saying. I mean, whose side is he on? And we may not find out until, I mean, who knows?
I mean, just for the sheer fact that he almost already lost his job because of Castro, and he was initially running against Castro, it just kind of seems like there's no way that he's going to be in support of Castro any more than he's kind of legally bound as an employee of the state's attorney's office.
I don't know. I mean, I agree with you. I think he would want to stab or get Castro as quickly as possible and stab him as deeply as possible in the back. Mm-hmm. But you never know. I mean, he may have real aspirations to maybe one day run for something else, or maybe he wants to stay in that position. You know, you never know. I just think he's in a really interesting position where he is, both parties, and the fact that he's in love with Alicia. So we'll just have to figure out.
The fact that he's in love with Alicia. Not the speculation, not the theory, not the belief that goes on this side of the table. It's the fact that he is in love with Alicia.
Okay,
they're in love. There are a few things that are certain in this world. Courtney, death, taxes, and Finn loves Alicia.
Yeah, Finn loves Alicia.
Okay, well, we can say Finn loves Alicia. I'm okay with that. That they are in love, that's getting a little bit ahead of ourselves.
Okay.
But I want to get to the next thing, Alicia skeletons, briefly, because we kind of know what they are. Well, and then, of course, they paint this whole DUI thing. Now it's slapped on the internet that she's going to rehab, and she hasn't even announced that she's running yet.
Well, that was the whole point with Grace and the pack. Grace was like, you have to. People are
supporting you.
What are you going to do? Say no, thank you. Take your $140,000 back. She's like being forced into doing this. And I don't really think she has a real reason to do
it. We still don't have that backing.
We still don't have that backing as to why she's doing it.
Which was so interesting. As soon as Lamont Bishop got down to the bottom of why she was running, we find out that he supports it.
Absolutely.
Listen, you can't take dirty money and expect you're going to have a clean gig.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Oh, I 100% agree.
She already turned down Peter Florek's real estate buddy and his whatever money to bail out Carrie because she knew that came with strings attached.
Mm-hmm.
If she's going to turn down a slightly more upstanding businessman, probably not. This guy's probably not selling drugs like Lamont, but slightly more upstanding. If you're going to
I thought you were saying Lamont was slightly more.
If you're going to turn down Carrie's bail from that real estate guy, Peter's friend or whatever, you can't take $140,000 from Lamont Bishop. Now, the way these PACs work, they spend the money on ads. I mean, you've seen super PACs and things for presidents.
Yeah,
they spend the money on ads. She doesn't have a say how that money gets spent. She's not involved with that thing
in any way.
So she can't do anything with it. But I'm wondering, how does she get away with this? Get away from this? Because if you, in the slightest way, condone Lamont Bishop doing this, then you are part and parcel to him and his little drug empire, and you are beholden to him in some way, or at least it looks like you are beholden right. to him in some way.
Yeah, and that's all
and
you need.
You don't want to get on the bad side of a guy who dresses as well as Lamont Bishop.
He really does. He really dresses very well.
Oh, I'm
well.
Not disagreeing with
the
that.
Better
I
you
just
dress,
think it's funny.
The more ass you kick. Like, that's another fact.
He really does dress well. I mean, I really wish he could have gotten a better campaign button. I thought that was kind of like Kinko-ish looking.
Yeah.
But I guess he needed it for
I mean,
effect
you,
at a short,
you've
you know,
seen,
a short
You've seen the guys on his crew. You've seen the guys
you
on his crew. Like, he didn't have
you,
that button made himself.
Could you see his drug dealer dudes wearing the
button? Oh my gosh, yes. That would be fantastic.
I expected a little bit better, like a billboard. That was kind of, you know.
All well, right. I mean, she hasn't announced yet. She hasn't announced yet. And he was not supposed to know. I'm surprised he even came to her and said that he was the one that got that started.
Oh, I think he wants her to know off the bat, because he wants her to know, okay.
Well, at least let her announce. Or maybe he thought she might not announce if...
Right.
And well, but I also loved how he was like, I'm going to tell people that I'm upset that you fired
Absolutely.
Me because it looks better for you.
She's an upstanding candidate to be
because,
state's attorney.
Because he wants to make it so that she owes him. And when something comes up, she's going to say, oh, we can't persecute Lamont Bishop. We can't prosecute Lamont Bishop. Sorry. You know, that's what he wants.
For no reason.
That's
what
he wants.
I mean, it'll look like on her end, there's no reason not to go for it because of whatever evidence is in front of them. And then it'll be like, wait a second, is he in your pocket?
This is a guy running a drug empire in Chicago who now realizes he can get in the back pocket of the state's attorney and the governor if he plays this card right.
But the thing is that's so funny about that is they're actually, it'll be interesting to see how closely their politics actually align now that they're their own politicians, if that makes sense.
Quick question, more important. Now can Alicia get a pot discount for Zach from Lamont?
Probably not.
I don't think he gives discounts. You don't buy those shirts giving out discounts.
You don't think...
No, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, you don't.
All right. The last thing I want to touch on before we call it a night is...
Legitimate question.
Lauren. We finally find out the backstory of this little intern that doesn't wear panties.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Lauren.
Or Lauren.
Stop it. Ew.
Lauren.
Ew.
Oh, that
Ew.
Was gross.
No, I just... I'm.
You knew exactly what you were doing. You were not a dummy.
Can we talk about Lamont some more?
No, we cannot talk about his nice shirts.
I'm happy Lauren is gone, but you're right. It totally revealed to us something else because Peter made a point in saying, see, I was not sleeping with the intern.
But why didn't he tell Eli from the beginning? I think because he's sleeping with Lauren's mama.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I totally think he's sleeping with the mama, who's really pretty.
She was going through a hard time.
Right.
And asked me to get Lauren a job.
Or both, if you're Peter Floyd.
No.
Why would you not? Not at the same time.
Well, obviously not at the same time.
But I will say, if
you guys
Peter is...
You guys are underestimating men here. I'm just going to tell you that right true. Now.
No, no.
Let me have
no,
some clean
not.
Thoughts.
No.
if Lauren knew her mother was actually sleeping with the governor, that... gives her... I mean, I was always surprised by her attitude. When Eli said, Lauren, she said, what? When Eli's daughter asked her about wearing panties to work, she just lifted her skirt. I mean, so she felt as if she was really comfortable and had an inside track.
She felt unfireable. Absolutely.
Yeah, she had a certain amount of entitlement.
Yeah.
And so once we're hearing about this relationship with Peter and her mom, it makes total sense. I would
have
walked in too feeling pretty
secure. It's almost one of those where, but there was a little bit of like a flirtiness between them. But I don't know if that's because she knows it's kind of like he's daddy or if it's because she didn't know that someone... No, I mean, it's one of those where it's secure because, you know, my mom is sleeping with the boss. Or if it was one of those where she has no idea also, and she has no idea how she got the job. But that confidence makes me think...
She knew something.
She knew that Mama was. I mean, that's our speculation. We don't actually know. All right. Really quick, predictions.
Oh, wow.
And now, you're after Buzz TV. Predictions.
How appropriate for October.
I've got three very, very brief ones. I'll just run through them. Alicia will disown the PAC money. She can't say how to spend it. I mean, Lamont's going to spend it however he wants, but she will publicly come out and say, I am not affiliated with this PAC. I do not want this money spent because she has to try to get away from him. Number two, she's going to somehow prove in her DUI that was a witch hunt by Castro, that he's got people following her, whether she proves videos or whatever. She'll prove that. And number three, I believe Finn Pulmar will announce he is also running for state's attorney again. I think he's going to jump back in.
Ooh. Whoa!
This Alicia Finn, like adversary, kind of playful, flirty opponent role mm-hmm. is a cool thing. They like it. We like to watch it. I think it'll happen on the state's attorney race.
I like that. I like the third one, and so I'm going to not piggyback off the third one, but my prediction has to do with her race. I do think she's going to run. I do not think she's going to either win or something's going to happen. She's going to have to drop out. And I think it may have something to do with
Zach's going to kill a guy at college.
Zach, oh, Carrie. Please. I mean, but it's going to be a real, you know, it's going to be a reason. I feel like she's, I don't think
she's
going
to find the reason not to run.
Yeah, she's going to find the reason.
Or it's going to find her.
It's going to find her. Yeah, I don't think we're going to see people checking that name off the box.
And there is a whole Peter Florek Oppo research thing on him that we haven't even gotten to yet. So the reason could be there.
And I think that that's something that they have to show us in the next episode. And it'll be really interesting to see how that plays out now that Eli does know the truth, because part of that whole Oppo research thing was the whole Lauren scandal.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Thank you so much for joining us. That's it for tonight's Good Wife After Show. We look forward to seeing you next week. I am your host, Courtney Henderson. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at COUHEN. Where can we find you?
I'm on Twitter at Bobby DeMuro, Instagram at Mr. Bobby DeMuro.
I'm on Twitter and Instagram at TJ Wagging Her Tail.
I like that.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Have a great night.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.